Blog Talk Radio.
James Wasik here with the American Brand Radio Initiative. And as always, for the most part, our faithful friend, our buddy, Scott Kesterson. Hey, Scott, how are you?
Good, man. You don't sound excited tonight, James. What's going on? Did you get your toe slammed in a door?
No, not a bit of it, man.
I just had to ask. Because I hear this kind of like very serious, almost monotone approach to the introduction of the American Brand after a great song by Crowder. Come on.
Well, man. You know what? That kind of resonated with me. I was just listening to that thing and I was in it. And basically, I was a little distracted. I kind of got carried away because I really like that tune. And so that's why I went into Jack Webb mode and autopilot. How was Thanksgiving?
It was awesome. That's what I can tell you. It was absolutely awesome. I had an amazing Thanksgiving. Lots of things that just had a great time. I don't think I've had a better Thanksgiving, James, to be honest with you. I'm serious.
That's
pretty good.
Excellent. That's excellent.
How about you?
It was terrific. You know, mom's 85, and we got her through another one, and it was awesome. She had a terrific time. I drug the smoker out, and I tell you what, that turkey, Scott, that turkey was having so much fun in the smoker. When I went to take him out, his legs stayed behind. That's how tender that cat was, man. He was on. I had to just kind of like scoop him out and slide him into the roasting pan. I didn't even have to use a knife on him. I just pulled him apart. He was excellent. Brother and his family came over. We had a terrific, terrific time. One of my aunts was here. And yeah, it was a terrific, terrific good time off. Start to finish.
Well, it was awesome. You said you were making the bacon weave, and I suppose you did that, right?
Oh yeah. Well, I didn't want him to get too cold in the smoker, so I made him a little bacon weave blanket there to keep him company.
I'm glad you did that. I'm sure he felt nice and comfy when he was inside.
You know, it was only about 225 degrees in there for about 7 hours, so he was rolling with it, man. He was in good shape.
Yeah. Oh man, I'll tell you, that's great. Well, you know, Mark roasted a pork shoulder for Thanksgiving, and man, he did that for about 10 or 11 hours. It just basically fell off the bone when he took it out. It was amazing. So
when you do it right, that's exactly it. Yeah.
About 185 degrees for about 11 hours, I think was about the time. It was pretty amazing. Big pork shoulder. Fantastic, you know.
Ugh.
So that was awesome. Oh, yeah, it was good. It was good. Had a great Thanksgiving. Just very, very special. And we'll talk later about that. But it was
okay, so we don't have any important announcements we need to make on the radio initiative at this point.
You know, what I do want to talk about a little bit, there are some big announcements for the American brand. I really want to jump into that a little bit tonight, because it leads into this entire moral and ethical bankruptcy we're dealing with in this country. And I just really want to get into what we're doing in the American brand and how we're approaching this and what that means for 2018 and what it means for 2020. Are you good with that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that was a long pause. Did you ever think about that one, or did you still back listen to Crowder or something?
No. Well, I'll tell you what, before we get started on this, I want to ask you a couple of different things. I'm going to check you out on a couple of things. I noticed today, and we have a lot, and we talk about this, or I try to talk about this as often as I conceivably can. You know, my motto is accentuate the positive, and we have a lot of things to be encouraged and positive about. And I saw two things today that kind of stuck out with me. Number one, loudmouth idiot Keith Olbermann is finally hanging it up. I think his next stop is going to be hawking mimeographed scandal sheets on the corner. But he's finally done. He's given it up. You know, he was a huge sportscaster for a while, and then something happened to him, and he started believing in himself and his infallibility, and he went into political commentary, and he was at MSNBC, and he alienated himself there by being a toolbox. And then he goes to whatever that place was that Al Gore had, Current TV. And, you know, then it was sold to Al Jazeera, so he wore out his welcome. He was even too despisable for the Muslims. And then he winds up on this podcast with, I think, Gentleman's Quarterly. And so today he finally hung it up. He realized that after Trump accused Elizabeth Warren, you know, he called her Pocahontas there in front of some Navajo code talker fellas who thought it was hilarious and they love what he's doing for the country. Olbermann has decided that, you know, this is the last faux pas of all the faux pas. He's clearly irretrievably finished now, so there's nothing more for Olbermann to talk about. So he's zipping it up and rolling on down the highway. And Luis Gutierrez, out of a clear blue sky from nowhere, in a very secure congressional district that he's been in and called the shots in for 24 years and screaming open borders and pro-illegal alien types all the way, has suddenly said he's not going to seek re-election. He's rolling out too. And that struck me as significant and kind of sudden. And if we think back a couple weeks to the massive creeperism that we've seen going on in the media, in Hollywood, in politics, you know, I don't know one way or another, but it seems kind of odd that a guy that would have, you know, that solid a seat says, you know what, I'm out of here.
Well, it's all about this swamp draining that's going on. You know, people are bailing ship. Are typically, they know what's coming, and they know that it's coming hard and fast, and they know that they want to get out of its way. So, you know, they're all bailing ship. I don't know what to say, man. Here's where I'm kind of just walking on the edge of this one, and there's a reason for it. I really made a point lately. I'm kind of disengaging a bit from the ongoing soap opera.
I understand.
This is like Days of Our Lives. You know, for 18 months, there wasn't a day that has gone by that I haven't read for about 3 to 4 hours a day in news. And you know how I am. I scour deep. I go outside some normal sources. And there's just kind of a shift going on with, you know, the direction of the American brand and everything else. And it's not that the news isn't important, but it's such well-designed propaganda and intentional to just constantly keep people's hope down, constantly try to denigrate, break values, always trying to suppress knowledge, always trying to rupture faith. I mean, that's any of those things that it can do, that's what it's doing constantly. And ultimately, it even consumes itself. So we're in a place right now where you've got Keith Olbermann, who's one of their own, who's finally said, you know, he even can't survive. He's out. You have the liberals that are just the mouthy ones, Pocahontas, Nancy Pelosi, Schumer. You don't notice how quiet Schumer's been. The only thing he does is what Nancy Pelosi tells him. And every time they turn around, they just get face planted into something, you know?
Yeah.
You got Hollywood, it's unraveling so fast. You notice how silent Hollywood is, because it's just like watching, you know, the roof melt of snow slide off the roof when the temperature goes from 20 degrees to 80 in a day, you know? So the problem is that there's enough of these creatures, out there that they are anchored in deep. They are embedded with their talons into this institution, and they're very, very hard to uproot. And like I talked about, this morning very much about how the Supreme Court is dealing with one of the biggest decisions we have facing us right now, which is Carpenter versus the United States. And that one is a very huge, huge case in front of the Supreme Court. And our government's arguing it as a Fourth Amendment case. It's actually the biggest First Amendment attack we've ever seen. And it all has to do with their ability to circumvent the Constitution and get hold of your data and now preemptively shut you down. I mean, that's basically it, right? Without a warrantless search for your information, be able to track where you are, what you say, what you do, all based on your cellular data, by not even having to get a warrant. So the deal we have here right now is the deep state is positioning itself so heavily and I do mean this. They're trying to position themselves so heavily legally that they're trying to reinforce their position so that no matter what they do, they can continue to crush the most dangerous part of the Constitution, which is the First Amendment. So while on one, and I'm not trying to paint a negative picture at all, but I just, the real of it is that these little flies that keep falling off the mound of poop that we see when we start to drain the swamp. I mean, it's literally a sewer, and a rancid one at that, and it's just unprocessed sewage at the bottom. Keith Olbermann is one of those little flies that decided finally that he'd had enough of eating off of that beast. And you have these other leeches, but underneath that sewer is kind of like this molten project that just keeps reinventing itself, re-anchoring itself, and trying to recreate itself so that stench can continue. And that's really where ultimately we have got to dig in deep to understand what that's going to be to be able to push back against that. And we can't be deceived by the small victories. And I'm not taking anything away from you because there is a lot of positive in this. But it's good to see the left bail ship or the never Trumpers jump, finally give up. But the problem is that they're just kind of like that bad paint job. And you put latex over oil that you can peel off, right? The real problem sits underneath where the rot is. And we're not getting to that yet. We're seeing some of it. Some of that's being done by the judicial appointees that President Trump is doing. But we see how deep this system has been corrupted by the resistance to tax reform, the persistence of the Obamacare nightmare, which is bankrupting hospitals, which is putting us on a trajectory to nationalize healthcare, which is going to be a disaster in itself. We're seeing the resistance, like I said, through tax reform, because they don't want to let go of their power of taking money from people and building a government that's oversized, which is really went off on steroids starting in the end of the War of Northern Aggression, and it just has continued to be a government out of control. And this constant deluge of information nonsense and mind-bending and mind-warping truth that's coming from our mainstream media and Hollywood. And that's Hollywood, the Grammys happened last night, and they basically took any white artist and they dropped them down on the list. They said, anybody that's black is going to be voted for. Anybody that's white, you get dropped down on the list. That was Grammys last night. So it's become everything. They're just basically ignoring the populist movement, and they're telling you through their main, because they control the mechanisms of communication, we don't care what you think about America. We're telling you what America's going to be. And this continues to be the elite fight. They just basically thumb their nose, jam their middle finger in your face, and they say, we don't care. We're going to do it anyway. CNN, everybody at CNN lies more than any agency out there. They will twist truth left, right, and sideways to sell media, and they just don't care. They'll tell you, as they said, it's not our job to represent the United States. What they're saying is it's our job only to sell whatever we think is the right way to sell the organization so that our stockholders are happy and we can twist the truth. Hollywood, putting up one of the big films this year for is a gay film, a gay man's film. And like, I could give a, you think I'm going to theater to watch that? Hell no. But it's going to be this minority cabal that's going to do it because it's going to be in the blue sections of the country where the high density populations are in the cities. And they're going to go out here and go, hey, we had, instead of having 1,000 openings, we had 50 openings, and we did really well. And it's a great artistic film, and we had great theater feeling. Well, yeah, because you stuck it in the gay communities,
Right.
All the sympathetic garbage. And then you've got this LGBTQQRAAP or whatever the heck it is, now extended this alphabet even further. So my point is we have this march of the left that is basically just basically says we're still going forward because we're just denying that we're failure. We're denying that you don't like us. We're denying that that the United States is based on another set of principles. We're denying, 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 because the only way forward is the way we see forward, and screw all of you. And that ain't going to work. Bottom line. So that's kind of where I stop for the moment, and we can, and I'll let you segue in where you want, and then we can continue this. How's that?
Sounds good to me. The way I see it, and you're right, these little victories, and they are, okay, because you know what? It's Hydra, man, okay? It's Hydra. Some of the heads are a little more venomous than others. Some of them have been around longer. Some of them have thicker necks because they haven't had their heads cut off yet. And we can't take anything away from the magnitude of draining that swamp. You're right. It's deep. And this crap is in there way, way down. And it is going to be very tough to do. But what I see a lot, Scott, and just looking, and a lot of it is, yeah, a lot of it is sideshow. A lot of it is kind of like inside baseball kind of stuff. But when I see Nancy Pelosi, basically, I'm witnessing her segue into senility. Every time she has an interview, every time she holds a presser, she is nowhere near giving up power. She's not going to do it. She's not going to do it. It's going to have to be overwhelming. It's going to have to be an onslaught of resistance to her before she lets loose, and not a moment before that. Just like you said, you know, we've talked about it many times. Once these guys get power, they, you know, it's good to them, and they like it, and they don't give it up voluntarily. And she's not going to either. And at the same time, you've seen her lapses and what's going on with her. Okay, she's fading. And they can say whatever they want. I worked in that business for a while, and cognitively, old girl's fading. She's what, 75, 76? It's time. But she's not going to let go of it any more than Robert C. Byrd let go of it, any more than Strom Thurmond let go of it, any more than any of these guys, either side of the aisle, are going to let go of it. And you're right, it is, at times, it can seem a daunting task. And we mustn't fool ourselves that it's going to be easy, because you're right, it is deep and it's firmly entrenched. But when we see these things happen, I think that it victory upon victory begets the habit of victory. Stonewall Jackson is a prime example. And when we see these things happen, we should take heart in it, and we should also really get excited when we see this kind of stuff happening, as we've talked before, on the local level too.
Well,
back to you.
This is where I'm glad you brought that, because I talk a lot about this, you know, and the point is that you can't fight the fights in the Washington sewer. It doesn't happen directly. And you know, the point I make when you hear the left just blatantly just ignoring, I mean, this is what they do really well. They're like, oh, you say the sky is blue, and they'll say, I disagree, the sky is black. And you're like, it's not black, it's blue. They're like, no, it's black. And I'm just going to ignore you because I'm going to say it's black, so today it's going to be black. And then just march forward, and as the collectivists they are, they'll all say, okay, the sky's black. And it doesn't matter what facts you put before them, they will just go there and go, okay, you know, that global warming is the greatest example of leftist insanity you have ever seen. We are, according to Al Gore, 10 years ago, we should not have any snow left on the planet. And he's still saying that's going to be the case. I mean, this is just insidiousness, you know, and it's the way they are. And it's like I've talked before about mental viruses, which is called emetics. It's the science of viruses of the mind, which are developed by ideologies and that modify cognitive behavior. We're dealing with that here at an extreme level. We're dealing with a product of an internet generation and a cell phone generation that has grown up on this very fast burn type response that is stimulating a high level of adrenaline in their thinking. They have very short-term processing, and they develop limited long-term deep thinking skills. And it's just the reality. They're very good at fast short-term stuff. They're very horrible at visioning where things are going and what. And so they're this momentary satiation of their needs. Very selfish. So the reason I frame all that is because it's not all gloom and doom. You and I are both at the same point. You have to have a positive banner under which to follow because there really isn't anything else doing that. If you listen to half of these shows, what you feel like you want to do is you want to go buy as much gold as you can, as much silver as you can, as much ammo as you can, as much canned food as you can, and you want to build a bunker way underground. You want to go bury yourself in there with a bunch of guns and lock the door and say, okay, let the world blow over. And that's exactly what the left wants. So it's back to the local action, which you said earlier, and what's so important about that local action. And my mantra these days that will remain for, you know, this is where we're going for 2018 with the American brand. It is based on the three principles of faith, knowledge, and values. And it's a complete redirection shift from trying to fight a trench fight. You're not going to defeat the left in a trench fight. You'll wound them. You'll wipe out a number of them, but they're just going to keep coming because they're just that way. It's like going into a swarm of bees with a fly swatter. And I guarantee you're going to kill a lot, and I guarantee you're going to get stung a whole bunch more. And so when you go into a trench fight and you've got a knife and trench fight with knives and axes, everybody's going to get stabbed and butchered at some point in time. And the left is counting on that because that sort of intense conflict behavior ends up being used to justify their actions and prove to them and the rest of and people that are on the edge that see, those on the conservative side really are aggressive, they are violent, they are hateful, they are this, they are that, because that's the narrative that they've built that they're pulling people into. You know, it's like the bar fight, right? So you sit there and a guy sits in the bar, two guys are sitting in the bar. One guy's quietly sitting down at one end of the bar, and the other guy out of nowhere looks down at the guy at the end of the bar and goes, "Hey, man, quit threatening me." And the guy sitting at the end of the bar, sipping his beer, not doing a darn thing, looks up and goes, "What are you talking about?" The guy says, "See? Knock it off, man. Quit threatening me. I saw your eyes." And the guy's like, "Dude, shut up." He goes, "Don't threaten me. I told you, dude. Don't threaten me." He's like, "Dude, leave it alone." He's like, "See? I told you." And pretty soon, he pushes and pushes and pushes, and that guy at the end of the bar goes, "Hey, listen, Jack." And he gets up out of his seat, and he comes up, and he puts his finger in his face, and he goes, "Listen, knock it the heck off." And the guy goes, hey, he touched me. He's attacking me. And the guy's like, "Damn." And he just turns around and decks him, lays him right on the floor. Who's guilty? It's the guy at the end of the bar that wasn't doing a damn thing, because that's what the world perception is going to be. It's not the truth. It's perception. And the left understands the theme of perception. So the only way to fight back on this is to go a completely different direction. You can't get in there and have them accusing you of one thing. I you know, like this ridiculous rally they had back in September, which was called Moab, the mother of all rallies, or Moar, or whatever it was. And a couple guys asked me to show up there, and it was just the dumbest, and I told them, it's going to be dumb. Because their motivation for going there wasn't to get a message out. It was, we were going to bring so many people to the mall in D.C. that we cannot be ignored. And I started laughing. I'm like, yes, you can be ignored. They're just going to ignore you. I don't care if you pack that mall with 10 million people. They're going to ignore you because you represent what they hate. They're just not going to show it because that's what they do. You know, and even if you had 10 million people there in that mall, which they didn't, but if you had 10 million people there, they'd snap some damn photo and they'd say, "Oh, look, there's only 20 people here." And that's what they'd say, and they'd walk away. And when you said, "Well, we can prove the numbers of 10 million, they'd say, "No, you didn't. You didn't even come close." And they'd get somebody in the Park Service sending out a photo of like 4 in the morning before the whole thing was set up and going, "This is the whole crowd." And everybody'd be like, "Oh, yeah, that's right. Park Service said it. That's real. They're a government agency. They're to be trusted." That's the fight we're in. So the only way that we can get around that is we have to re-anchor ourselves in what our strengths are, not our weaknesses are. We are not good as a conservative group I'm getting into trench warfare and trying to fight these people with lies and with the lies and the negativity that they throw. It's just not going to work. But you can change behavior by living values, faith, and anchoring yourself in knowledge, the Constitution, what I say every day, the Constitution of where its roots go, which is the Bible. And if people think that that's proselytizing, it's not. It's a factual piece that the Bible has and the Constitution are linked. And if you don't understand those two documents, you don't understand the vision of our founding fathers. So to get strong there to begin with, that's your armor, right? And then to be able to walk into the community and from a beginning point, something this simple changes the world. And I talk about this every day, and I don't think people always grasp how powerful this is. One action. There were 62 million people that voted for President Trump. 62 million. And I want you to imagine that 62 million people every single day engage in their community with an eye contact, with a moment, and they simply say, hello. Hello. That's it. Acknowledge somebody that you don't normally acknowledge. Acknowledge them as an American. Look at them. I don't care what race, color, creed they are. It makes no difference to me. Take a step out of your box. Go out there 62 million times a day. Say, hello, how are you? Good morning, how are you doing? Good afternoon, how are things? Do that every single day. You want to change the world, change values. You want to change values, take an action that changes values. That changes values. Why? Because it acknowledges somebody with respect and it treats them like an American. It's so dang simple. So dang simple. It literally, it rocks the very foundation that the left is trying to destroy. And it takes people away for a second, away from their doggone cell phone. It takes people away from all this other stuff that they're doing. And it gives them a personal contact, eye to eye, with they're accountable to you and you're accountable to them in a few seconds. And you're simply telling them, hello, I recognize you as a person, as an American. That's it. I don't care about your politics. I don't care about your religion. I don't care about anything. I'm respecting you. And I'm coming from the place of faith. And I'm coming from that power of knowledge, because that's what being an American is. And I'm living my values into the world by taking an action as simple as saying hello. Because I've got strength in those three pillars of foundation that I have. And I have confidence to do that and walk up to you, even though you don't know me from Adam. That's the beginning of small actions that change the world. And it's small actions that are done every single day by a community of Americans that anchor and believe in a country that's rooted in the Constitution, has faith as its very solid ground footing, and walks values in life, because that's who we are. That's what our founding fathers gave us. They gave us a Constitution that was bounded by two simple principles that no one ever talks about, and the most important principles of the Constitution, and they're not written in there. The Constitution is a simple document in principle, because what it did in principle is it said that a country is built on these two pillars, a fear of God and a government and ruling elite fear of the people, period. That's what the Constitution does. All the other stuff in between are rights and execution points. But those two boundaries are what make our country. It's what makes us unique. A country that says, in God we trust, but in God we fear and respect. And on the other side of that coin is this place that people can look at the government, and the government looks at the people and says, we're accountable, because if we aren't, they will hold us to that. That's the fear of the people. It's the power of the First Amendment. It's the power of the Tenth Amendment. It's the power of the Second Amendment. And don't get overwhelmed on the second, because the most important amendment in there is the first. That's what we're talking about. And if we want to get to that place, and we want to get to that place again where people start to feel that there's an accountability in our culture every single day, you have to begin by living that accountability. And you're not going to do it by going into D.C. and doing a stupid rally on the Mall. But you are going to do it when you do it in mass, in a community of faith-based Americans, 62 million of which voted for President Trump, and you go into the world and you say, hello, how are you today? And I acknowledge you, and I say hello to you, at that moment, you've now established that that person that you know, that you don't know, that stranger that you walked up to say hello in that moment, there is an accountability that happened right in that moment. And that's living values in life every day. That's how you change the world. You don't change the world by dreaming about the stupid revolution. You don't change the world by thinking if you spend your hours on Twitter frying out on somebody, it's going to make any difference. You don't change the world by reading the news and getting upset. And then when you get home at night, being pissed off at your kids because everything's going bad in the world. Or being depressed. Who gives a rip? You can't control what you can't control, but you can control certain actions in your community every day that will literally change it. If you have 20,000 people in your community, we'll just say the number technically, and you had, we'll say out of that, you had 11,000 people in that community voted for President Trump and 10,000 and 9,000 have been. So, all you have to do is have 11,000 people go into that community every single day and acknowledge somebody. That means that there's 9,000 people and 2,000 of them are going to get acknowledged twice, right?
Right.
That's power. That's power. That's what I'm getting at. That's total power right there. That's power to change. You're not going to convert people. We're not trying to convert people. We're trying to accept the fact that America is a diverse melting pot, that we have differences of ideas. What we're trying to get back to is bridging the hate that has been instigated, the hate that has been brewed by our politicians, by our media, by our Hollywood stupidity. The destruction of morals, the absolute degradation of humanity that's happening through technologies. We're trying to step away from that and saying we are Americans, we're going to do this because this is what we do as Americans, and then we begin to have conversation. And when that happens, the elite don't just shudder, they freak out. That's the truth. And that is where we're going with the American Rambler, but in many other levels. But that's the beginning of that conversation.
What to you, I want to ask you this too while it's fresh in my mind because it kind of is an offshoot of what you're talking about. When you talk about these things and you have you're looking at a longer game, what are you going to see when your barometer of victory says, hey, you know, things are changing? What are the tells that we can look for? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know. So one is going to be you. Youth is going to be a huge part of this. So we have to start being able to see a reduction in drug use by youth. We have to start seeing an involvement in youth in faith-based activities. We have to start seeing an involvement in youth in politics from a point of view of action, not just divisive argument. Youth is a big indicator. What they do, how they see, what their perceptions are, what their knowledge of the Constitution is, what their belief in America is, those things are going to be huge indicators. When youth starts to, again, have hope again, not being able to say, well, capitalism doesn't work because in my lifetime I've never seen it work, so I want to give up on the whole thing. I want to go to socialism. They don't even know what socialism is. Most of the youth survey, I think it's 62% of the youth survey, thinks that social media is where socialism came from. That's called ignorance. All right? So when we start to see youth starting to look at problems and being engaged and proud of this country and what we are, and instead of trying to throw the baby out with the bathwater, they're saying, let's get into this. Let's get back to the Constitution. Let's read what this great document says. Let's knock off the garbage. Let's quit doing this nonsense about progressive this or that, adding some little subtitle to every single person. Let's get past the hyphenated American because that does not work and it does not exist. You're either an American or you're not. Let's get back to the common language, which last time I checked is English.
See.
Which I do believe that there's some people in D.C. that say they speak English like Nancy Pelosi, and I don't know what she says half the time. But this is one of those big indicators. Is another big indicator when we start to see a radical shift in the politics of the U.S., when we start to see a radical shift towards small town and rural communities, is going to be how we look at small farms. And I've said this before, but it's a huge indicator because it's part of getting back to kind of some core values of what's important. We have forgotten the connection that this country has to its agrarian roots. And I'm not advocating that somebody, everybody run out suddenly and buy a farm and become a farmer. That is not my point. But we've lost the respect for what a farmer is. And as a result, what we see is farmers are, there's about 2.2 million farms in this country. 90% of those farms exist only because someone else, if someone in that household is taking a job outside of the farm to support the family. And yet, if you paid farmers the cost of the product that the stores get for their product, rather than what they're being paid by the distributor, farmers would have a higher propensity to succeed. So when we start to cut out some of this corporate dominance in these areas and get back to more direct buying to American-produced goods, you're going to see that as another significant indicator. That has to be that, and the farming is one because it's tied to small towns and communities. When we start to see a rise again in youth participation in churches, and I mean that, we have to see it. Yeah, there's a number of people out there, I'm sure, that listen to this and go, "Wow, you guys are becoming, you know, every week." Yes, we are. Every week we are talking about faith. Every single week. And we're going to continue to beat that drum till the end of my days. Because it is powerful. It is what gives us purpose in life. It's what gives us guidance. It's what gives us framework to live. And when you strip it away and try to tell me that you can be this or that, what you end up with is what we see in Hollywood. What we see in the elite. You see this, "Oh, well, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to grab your breath when you were sleeping or drunk. Oh yeah, well, did you mind on the casting couch, you don't mind if you have sex with me because that's the only way you're going to get a role in the film." Or worse, but it gets the children. I didn't want to discuss that. It's in my stomach. That's the moral ineptitude that results in a society that gives up on faith. And if there's anything that should wake people up, they should look there and look at this and go, "Okay, look, I got it. I'm not used to going to church, but I'm going to start going. I haven't read the Bible, but I'm going to sit down and read." This nonsense, this new age garbage is going out there, it leads nowhere. It's a dead end road to hell, quite frankly, and that's not a religious metaphor, it's just what it is. It's the yellow brick road that leads you to the Emerald City, and when you look behind the curtain, you see the pool of a fat little man pulling levers. That's this whole new age modern modernization of what they see as faith that they're seeking, and they're so afraid to go back to the roots and origins of what built this country, which is Christianity. So they're like, "Hey, wake up, it's not working, folks. We've got to get back to face-to-face communication." That's going to be another indicator. We have to see some reduction in the use of just wasting your hours away on social media. Start getting out and enjoying friends again, community. See the reduction there. That's another indicator. Those are huge.
Go ahead. I was going to say, when you mentioned a return to agriculture, and I can't remember where it was. It was one of my usual suspects for show prep, and they had commented on a trend where there's been a turn, a kind of a surge, a reversal in young American men and women returning to that industry.
Mm-hmm.
For the same reason that, believe it or not, and you're going to laugh, but it's the truth. I saw this too. More and more people are returning to the flip phone because the smartphone and the overwhelming technology of those things, they say, has gotten to the point where it's running their lives and they got to try and break from it. So they're going back to, you know, a more simplified, less sophisticated, but no less reliable means of communication. So those are things to take heart in.
They are things to take heart in, and they're indicators that we need to see. We need to get back to basics. And it has to mean we don't need live in all of this. We're being channeled into a vision of the world that is, that they think they've got everybody hooked on, that we don't have an ability to walk off that escalator or that
right.
conveyor belt, okay? And they truly believe it. So, you know, like I talked about the other day on one of my shows, when we talk about this whole change in gender neutral movement of changing our laws so everything is around gender neutral status in some fashion where people can self-identify with basically any type of gender they want, including a pig and a cow, I think. Right?
Yeah. So,
okay, but people are missing why. This isn't some conspiracy to build in socialism. And it's not like some hidden cabal of trying to hide, which, I mean, some of it's there, but I mean, the reality of like, oh, there's drugs in our water, so they're trying to avoid us. They're trying to hide all what's going on. They're making it legal. There's probably some of that in there because I've talked about it. But here's the bigger reason. The bigger reason is, tell me, James, what is the gender of an artificial intelligence? What is that gender? What's the gender of an AI?
To my knowledge, they have none.
Exactly. And what are they trying to do? They're trying to institutionalize AI and make it equal to humans, like corporations have forever life. They're trying to do the same with AI. They're trying to mainstream AI so it becomes the replacement for humankind, and humans, as we know it, become a subclass for the elite creation, which is artificial intelligence. And that's why laws are being changed. It has nothing to do with human beings. It has to do with the setup three plays down the road. And that's how we have to think. We have to people have to get back to the understanding that there are consequences for things that you do. If you choose to live with a cell phone and put every your life up on Facebook and spend hours there sharing your thoughts, your visions, your hate, your love, whatever, do not think there's not a consequence to that. That whole data is being used, analyzed, written through AIs, or looking at that, understanding who you are, and the AIs are coming to their own conclusion about what the weaknesses and benefits are for human beings. And I hate to tell you, but the weaknesses are out stacking to the benefits. And as AIs are developing a consciousness and they are moving this way rapidly, faster than most people realize, and the elites know this, the AI concept is looking at humans as parasites, less than opportunity to work with. We're giving them everything they need to decide that. We have to start taking accountability in our lives, and we have to begin with simple actions that are human actions, and those human actions have to be daily, and they have to be as religious as going to church on Sunday. Period. Done. That is what has to happen. And those simple actions begin by establishing, like I said earlier, simple action that begins to change the world is every single day going into the world and saying hello to somebody and holding that moment of accountability for each of you, because that's a human action. Tell me an AI that's going to do that. And then we have to start growing from there. There's a lot to that. There's a lot of things out there, what that looks like. Okay? But that's where we are. And as a society, this is, you know, this is in no way all what I'm talking about is a positive action. But if we don't start getting people aware of what values are in life and what the humanity component of who we are is, again, we're just literally being sucked down into literally the matrix, where you become nothing more than food for an AI. And I'm not exaggerating. It's not an alarm bell's going off, some conspiracy theory. It's not trying to hype up stuff to weird people out and go, oh gosh, oh gosh. I hope that this would be some sort of big rated show, because that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the reality of where we're going on a trajectory that we're letting them take us on, and we have a choice. But choices don't mean things are easy. You know, faith is not a walk that you make when you, it's just, faith in the Constitution, two very similar approaches here. Our founding fathers did not give us a Constitution and go, hey, by the way, we added Article 10. And what that Article 10 says in there is that it will be easy for you. Nowhere in that Constitution did it say that. And nowhere did our founding fathers ever believe that, because most of them ended up bankrupt or they were making some sort of major sacrifice. They committed their lives to something bigger. And what was that bigger thing? Was the Constitution, which was rooted in what? God. Because it was faith-driven. And it doesn't say anywhere in there about faith, that faith is an easy walk. It doesn't say, oh, hey, thanks for joining today. And because you're joining today, you're going to get a base salary for the rest of your life. You're going to get free internet. You're going to get unlimited access to any of the porn channels you want. And if you swing over here, you got free cotton candy every Friday just to make you feel good. It doesn't say that. It says that walk is going to be thrown with all sorts of obstacles in your way. And the only way you're going to be able to walk in life is to hold deep faith and know with a smile in your heart that all of this is for a reason, that you can persevere, walk over those things and smile every single day in the world and bring that power of a power bigger than you into the world. And no matter what stands before you, just like the Red Sea, it will part and you will walk through it. And when you get there on the other side, you're like, whoo, man, that was one heck of a walk. But I'd do it again. And you don't have to do it again. You just keep walking. As you keep walking, it keeps challenging you, but you keep gaining the strength underneath you. And even when it knocks you down, you stand back up and you smile and you say, thank you. I enjoyed that one. Do it to me again, because I'm learning every step of the way, because I'm human. Because I have something bigger than this world that's guiding me. And I have something bigger in this world to look forward to. But if I don't get these experiences in this lifetime, I'll never appreciate what I have on that other side. And I know that in part of my walk, every single day I have to keep in front of me the sacrifices my founding fathers made to make this country, because it was something they had put together with the faith anchored in the values of Christianity. That guy. And so we walk a dual step. We walk our step every day with faith. We walk every step each day with the Constitution and the memory of our founding fathers. And we keep walking at it. We live our values and we keep walking and we keep getting stronger. And as we connect with one another, we're like, wow, I'm telling you, little actions every single day. How do you get across the room one step in front of the other? And we're doing it together, not as a collective, but as a community. And that power is at the grassroots of who we are. That power shakes the foundations of power itself, because it is power. It's greater power than anything the elite have. And it's so simple, but it's so magnanimous in what it will do. We will take our world back. We can rock the foundations of any elite power structure. We can topple the modern-day versions of Babylon. We can walk into the world unified. We can step into a space where there is literally light in darkness. And it all begins with a simple action. Hey, how are you? That's it. Pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it totally is. And we're going to walk hard in that walk, for sure. You know, you are really on fire here the last couple of days, and I've been watching on YouTube. And folks, you got a YouTube video. I know you got one coming up tonight at 9, right?
Yep, I do.
Okay, American Brand YouTube. You'll want to check that out. We're going to go ahead and close things up. We got a few minutes here. We got the store at theamericanbrand.org. We have a link there to the store, right?
Yeah, we do. You go to AmericanBrand.org, TheAmericanBrand.org.
TheAmericanBrand. I'm sorry.
No. I'm just emphasizing, because I get this all the time. Can't find it. Went to American Brand. TheAmericanBrand.org. We're trying to get hold of that other URL. Don't have it yet, so patience, and we will get it. TheAmericanBrand.org. You go there to the store. It says AB Store. Check it out. Some great swag, and we're adding some new stuff. We've got an insulated cups coming up the next couple of days, and a big signer mug, which is... Okay, and then, you know, I just want to say this. Folks, we are really heading towards a major push right now for donations, okay? Because the visions that we have that I talk about here that are individual, there's other big programs that we're running, three major ones.
which I talked about last night on the show. I'm going to talk about some of it more tonight, and we're going to talk about it all week long. It's the power of us changing the world for positive action, and that's what the American brand does. We don't typically do a hard pitch for money, but we are doing it now because we are not going to defeat this fight simply by standing here going, hey, that is cool stuff free on YouTube, and I like watching it, but that's all I'm going to do. We have got to get into the world. We have some powerful programs to get to our youth, powerful programs to get communities activated to start mapping and digging deep into what our social, political, and economic profiles are in these areas at the school board, the city council, the city mayor, and the county commissions. We have to know what that looks like. We need to know where the deep red and deep blue locations are in our towns and villages. And then we have the American Brand TV. And that's the master initiative of this whole thing, where we have a go-to spot for all this great programming. From this type of programming, which is podcast, which will be podcasted, we bring over our social media stuff onto there. We add new edited programming, which we're already designing and getting ready for, and we add partners that come in, and we support other conservative organizations out there doing the same. That's the American Brand TV, and that all takes money. And so we are on a big push right now to raise money, and it's a big chunk of money. And so if you want to help, get involved with fundraising, if you want to get involved with prayer groups, if you want to get involved with initiatives to reach out to the American brand, get over and join us and get involved. If you want to donate, we love your donations, do that too. A simple model that I would love to see is 62 million people voted for President Trump. If everybody in that group gave $10 to the American brand, which is basically a large latte twice each month, and we did that, we would literally have the most powerful faith, knowledge, and values-based organization ever created in the United States that would push back against anything the left could muster, no matter how many billions of dollars we put down. Because we are deep in the local community. So that's the vision. James, back to you.
62 million Americans, people. That is a force for good, ripping off the Navy. Serious, serious good. Oh. Well, dude, I think we're going to go ahead and close everything out. It's been awesome. We've been talking with Scott Kesterson, as we do Tuesdays and Thursdays, live here on the American Brand Radio Initiative. And we do that for the time being here out of the studios of the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Our good friend Mark Hoffman is graciously allowing us the time to bring the message here. We have an archive site on Blog Talk, the American Brand Radio Initiative itself. And what will happen is these shows will be, once they get archived on Blog Talk, we'll be putting them there, and you can pick them up. You can also check us out at our Facebook presence, which would be the American Brand. Again, tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, our buddy Scott Kesterson will be on YouTube, the American Brand, with his nightly video. Looking forward to that. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be back with you this Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I hope you had a terrific Thanksgiving holiday, because honestly, there is so very much for us all to be thankful for. And I hope it was a good, safe, and bountiful Thanksgiving for you. We will be back this Thursday. That's all for now. God bless each and every one of you. God bless the United States of America, the last best hope for freedom on earth. Catch you this Thursday, 7 p.m. Scott, you take care. We'll be tuning in at 9 p.m. on YouTube, my man.
All right. Thanks, James. And we'll look forward to talking to you on Thursday.
All right, buddy. Take care. We'll see you then. Bye.
Yeah, bye.
There we go. That's it. You guys take care. We'll see you next Thursday.